Well, good morning, everybody.
Lovely to welcome you to chapel this morning. It's always great to get together to worship God. And so we'll do that. And then after the service, we're going to have a picnic outside. So that'll be really good. So hope you can all stay for that. But I'd like to start with a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Should we just say this together? Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Okay, so you might recognize that more if I said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So it's a very sort of famous verse which is said by Jewish people a lot. I don't know the context in which they say it, but Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And so this verse is kind of saying, you know, our God, he is the God, the one and only God, and he is the only one. So it's the God and it's the only one. The nations around, you see, had many other gods, kind of a pick and mix so often in their cultures. And they could kind of got up in the morning and said, oh, who are we going to worship today type thing, you know? Where's the best fun to be had today? But Moses is saying to the people, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your might. No energy left for any other gods. You put it all into the one. Today, people often say, you know, you can kind of have your own truth. Effectively, you worship yourself. You worship what's going on in your mind, perhaps. But here at Loham Chapel, I think we can all say together, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. Blown away by all the choices of all the different food there that we can have. But, you know, thinking about when we're young, you know, there's those things we have to choose in school, isn't there? You choose what subject you're going to concentrate on. You're going to possibly choose what ones you leave behind. That's possibly the easier choice. I was desperate to leave French behind. And so that was okay. But choices, you know, choices we're making all the time. Are we going to choose to do things which make us happy? Or are we going to choose things where we earn lots of money? You know, and maybe that's never a choice that we can see. But that's kind of put in front of us sometimes, isn't it? But, you know, where do we get our advice from? Do we look to our teachers? Do we look to our family? Where else can we be looking for advice for these choices we make? Look for Jesus in the Bible, yeah. And anywhere else? I should have started this a bit earlier, but anywhere else? Who this past week, who's been telling us to make certain choices and not go out on the streets? Government, yes, they're keen for us to make certain choices, aren't they? And they were right on that one, I have to say. Now, when I was a youngster, many, many moons ago, I do remember a verse which helped me in my young life back then. And it said, kind of, seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. You know, like whether I was going to make loads of money or whether I was going to be happy, you know, that's not a choice, actually. You can be happy regardless. And I held this verse close to me and I tried to put it into practice. But how do we seek God, God's kingdom? How do we do that? There's plenty of older people here. You know, you've done this hopefully in your lives. How did you seek God first? How'd you do it now, even? We've all forgot. Yeah. Ask God. God, I'm not sure here. Please show me the way. Put something in my vision, my mind to help me here. So we can pray. We can ask God. Yeah. Some other ones? Ask other Christians, yeah, how do they manage? How have they got on? What do they think we should be doing, perhaps? Read the Bible. Be in a church, yeah. Get alongside other Christians. so important. If we're on our own, we're probably not do very well. You know, we need other people around us, other good Christians around us to help us out. There's another verse, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Says this, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So, you know, sometimes we've made those right choices, haven't we? And we've done it again, and then we've done it again, and we think, oh no, have I got to do it again? You know, this is getting a bit wearing, all these good choices. I'm sure it's more exciting to have lives which other people have that, you know, got to run from the police perhaps every now and again. But no, this is the Apostle Paul is saying, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, we should keep on doing good to everybody, especially to Christians around us. So, and I want to honour Isla for changing chairs just a few moments ago. So well done. That was a wonderful thing to do and come and sit by Rose. So well done, Isla, for doing that good thing. There weren't room in your pew, was there? So anyway, choices. My choice of the next hymn is 712. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light, for look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. You know, so when we're struggling with life a bit, we've got to look at Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Okay, so as you know, we're going through the New Testament following the walk through the Bible hand signs. So let's just remind ourselves of where we've got to with these. So we go Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second, birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, and today we have parables. We're going to cover our eyes and say parables. So, can we have our first reading, please, Aston? We're going to be looking at the parable of the four soils, or the farmer who sows the seed, however you like to title it. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Thank you, Aston.
Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear.
Thank you, Aston. A well-known parable, I'm sure. We've heard it many times, and parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, is a well-known sort of thing to help us to understand it. Meaning often hidden a little bit, isn't it? But stories we can relate to and understand. But they also teach us something about God. And interestingly, when Jesus starts with this one, does anybody know the first word he says? Well, it might be slightly different in your Bibles, I appreciate. But what was the first thing Jesus is saying? Listen. That's right. Well done. He says, listen. It's not on that version, is it? verse 3, not looking at the right place. Listen. Yes. And that was what Moses was saying, wasn't he, in that first reading? He's saying, hear, O Israel, listen. Listen, you guys. And so that's a choice. We have to make a choice to listen, don't we? We can hear all sorts of things, But if we want to listen, that's a choice we have to think. Hang on a minute, I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. Old Testament walkthrough of Bible signs. Who was the man who listened? Samuel. Thank you. Samuel was the man. He listened to God, didn't he? I'm sure lots of other people listened, but in the hand signs, that's who we remember. But Jesus is saying there's some urgency here. There's something important I want you to hear. Pay attention. Listen. Sit up and take notice. Now, I have to confess that I've been a bit disheartened the last month or so by the fact that various people who've said they've come to chapel have not shown up. And there was no arm twisting on my part, no hard sell, but they didn't. They said they would come, but they didn't follow it through. But it seems that this parable can go a long way to explain why and how this happens, or rather that it doesn't happen. You see, we have the four types of soil which describe the way various people receive the word of God. And so, first of all, we understand that the farmer, he's the preacher or the teacher or the neighbor, the Christian, who God uses to speak his words, and the seed being God's word. And so I hope we can all find ourselves somewhere, preacher, teacher, friend, neighbor, Christian, who God can use to spread his word. Yeah, and so the first soil we come across is the path. And the farmer chucks some seed onto the path. What's it going to do? It's going to bounce off, isn't it? Have no effect at all. So that's our first, what we could loosely call soil. It bounces off, no effect. If it does go in one ear, it comes straight out of the other one. You know, the seed bounces off, no effect whatsoever. And the person carries on their own way. Interestingly, this farmer is spreading the seed very liberally. He's not your normal farmer who just does it in the best part of the field. You know, he's spreading it all over the place. And he's not worried that 75% of this seed just possibly is not going to bear fruit. He is saying, no, we're going to spread this seed as far and wide as we can. And it's interesting that Jesus was speaking to his people, who were the Jews. They were brought up in an Old Testament culture of belief in God, which I imagine would be very different to our culture today. But interestingly, we see the similar results, don't we? Similar results, because Jesus was teaching this not only for the people in front of him, but also for us too. So this seed on the path just bounces off, and that's the end of that. But there's some seed falls on shallow soil. And I have another bag of soil here, but you can see there's something else underneath, which makes that shallow soil. And what else can you say? Shallow soil. The better soil is creeping down the bag a little bit, I have to say. I suddenly realise that my visual aids were going to fail to some degree. But shallow soil. Some seed fell on the shallow soil. And as a farmer, I know that my soil on my farm varies tremendously. If you go into the farm with the big double gates in that field there, you start with stony soil on the top. Halfway down, it's clay. Right at the bottom, it's sand. And if you hop over the fence to the next field, it's peat. Such a variety in a couple of hundred yards. And it's a similar thing in Israel, I guess. Very rocky country, I fancied, when I was there. Steep hills. But there are areas of fertile valleys and fields, big fields as well. There's a bit of everything there, but certainly some shallow soil. The shallow soil can give life, but it doesn't allow for the roots to go deep. It's a bit like saying, if somebody says, well, I follow God as long as he makes my life easy and doesn't give me any trouble, doesn't have to try too hard. Well, I kind of suggest to you that life is rarely that good. I hate to say it, especially to the young people, but life is generally hard. You have to work hard at it to get anything at all. And so don't believe it if you're told, you know, you can have lots of money, you can be happy, you can do just whatever you like and it'll all be fine. Because life is not quite that good. However, there's some other soil which we read about. And this has got weeds growing in it, the soil. Now you can kind of see that there's not really room for anything else in there to grow, is there? It's growing okay. Nice green grass. But there's no other room for anything else to grow. So it's only if it's going to be a grass field. If you want anything else to grow, it's not going to happen. And Jesus is sort of saying, you know, if you want to put God in here, it's going to be a real struggle. There's not room for God there. So you have to get rid of what's there already and put God so that he can be first in our lives. The soil, it's got thorns. It's like a busy soil, you know. There's so much to do. We want to follow God, but there's just not time to fit it all in. And God gradually drops down a priority list and eventually can easily get forgotten altogether. But our parable tells us about some good soil as well. And so, good soil here. Out of Jill's garden compost. And this has got plenty of room. There's nothing else growing there. And there's room for God to grow, to be there. And that Jesus was saying that the good soil, a seed goes in there, and the seed can multiply by 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times even. And that's pretty fruitful, isn't it? That is pretty good to go 30, 60, or 100. The only thing is we do have to be patient. You know, we cast our seed around, but we don't know straight away, unless it's bouncing off the stony one, we don't know straight away if it's taking root, how well it's going to get on, do we? So sometimes we do have to be patient as well. But Jesus finishes this little parable by saying, anybody with ears should listen and understand. So he's got back to where he started. He said, listen in the beginning, didn't he? And now he's reiterating that. He's saying, anybody with ears should listen and understand. Have we all got ears this morning? Yeah, some of us are losing it a bit on the here in front. But, you know, generally, we've got there. Jesus is saying we should all listen. Our next hymn talks about the voices of the world around me, my hopes and dreams and cares and loves and fears. The long-awaited call of Christ has found me. The voice of Jesus echoes in my ears. And so we need to listen to Jesus' voice, don't we? We need to take note of it and to follow him. So shall we stand and sing if we're able? Okay, so I'd like our next reading now from Isla, please, which is following on from Aston's Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 25. Thank you, Isla.
Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the other who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. The seeds that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or they are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them."
Thank you, Anna. Okay, so the disciples are struggling to understand this parable. So they do the sensible thing. They ask Jesus. Sometimes it's humbling to ask those questions, isn't it? You know, we kind of think we really should know what this is all about. But the best thing is always to say, "Sorry, I'm not getting it." Somebody was sending me some texts the other day with pictures and saying, "Oh, I want to do this and do that, and can you help me?" And I had to say back, "Look, I really don't get it. I'll have to come and see it one day." And I didn't really want to say that, you know, but I thought, no, that's what got to be said. And so I admitted I didn't understand what he wanted me to do. But Jesus says here that he uses parables to make it harder to understand the message sometimes, which doesn't seem right, does it? The person speaking should be making it plain and simple. We would generally say in these days, wouldn't we? But it's interesting how Jesus deals with it. Jesus gives understanding to those who are really looking for him, revealing truth to those who are willing to listen thoughtfully and consider what he has to say. Those whose hearts are hardened against him, as we just read, will have that truth taken from them. And Jesus quotes Isaiah when he says the same thing, is that we have to listen hard. But at the end of that, Mark 24 and 25, chapter 4, 24 and 25, then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding will be given. You will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even a little bit of understanding they have is going to disappear. It will be taken from them." So Jesus is saying we've got to put in some effort here. We've got to put in if we want to take out. And remember that other verse, "Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and you will be given." Kind of sums up this parable in a way, doesn't it? If we don't listen to Jesus, the seed of his word is going to bounce off as it does on that pathway. If we don't allow the seed to go deep into our lives, we will dry up. And if we don't make God first in our lives, he will be crowded out. But we need to be like the good soil. But the trouble is, the good soil takes effort. It takes energy, it takes time, it takes money, it takes commitment to put all these things in practice. And so we have an old memory verse, which is not that old, to be fair. Galatians 6, verse 7. Anybody got this one? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Thank you. If we put the effort in, God is saying we will receive a harvest. And so we need to keep that in our minds, don't we? We're going to read a bit further into that passage now with Logan, please, and Mark chapter 4, 26 to 34 this time. A couple more parables. We're talking about parables, remember? So Logan's going to bring us a couple more now. And yes, thank you.
Jesus also said, "Here is what God's kingdom is like.
A farmer scatters seeds on the ground, night and day. The seeds come up and grows. It happens whether the farmer sleeps or gets up. He doesn't know how it happens. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First, the stalk comes up, then the head appears. Finally, the full grain appears in the head. Before long, the grain ripens, so the farmer cuts it down, because the harvest is ready. Again, Jesus said, "What can we say God's kingdom is like? What story can we use to explain it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. But when you plant the seed, it grows. It becomes the largest of all garden plants. Its branches are so big that birds can rest in its shade." Using many stories like these, Jesus spoke the word to them. He told them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a story. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Logan. And so just very briefly, I think we can be with these two parables. They're about the kingdom of God. And he's talking about seeds. So remember, we're scattering the seed around, likened to a seed. And the seed is spread by the farmer. But that's his job done then, it would seem. He goes off to bed, he goes to sleep. And whether he goes to bed or gets up in the morning, the seed grows. You know, he's done his bit, and now it's over to the seed. And the seed just grows. And then the farmer looks at one day, oh, look, we can have a harvest here. We'll have 30, 60, or 100 fold harvest. And so we just need to spread this seed, don't we? And not be so concerned about what the seed does afterwards. We want to do it well. We want to do it properly, the best of our ability, but it's out of our control. And the next one was saying about the mustard seed. It's tiny, tiny little seed, but it's going to grow into a great big tree, which can be so beneficial, not to just itself, but to all other things as well. Huge potential in this tiny little seed. And somebody was telling me this morning, you know, they'd invited somebody else to church, you know, and possibly an unlikely character, but you know, he's definitely a character. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We invite people when we see them. And maybe it's a tiny, tiny chance, but Jesus is saying this tiny, tiny seed can produce a great big tree that has the potential to do great good. But I want to go on just to through the next couple of chapters and chapter 12 as well to see how this parable is working out in Jesus's experience. He's going around preaching and teaching people. And so if we were to, we haven't got time to read it all, but chapter 5 tells us that, or at the end of chapter 4, Jesus gets, they all get in a boat and they go across the lake. Whilst they're on the lake, they get a storm and Jesus calms the storm. They get to the other side and they see a demon-possessed man. He's living in a graveyard. He's naked. He's just out of his mind. He's just not right at all. But Jesus speaks to this man. He casts out the demons, in fact, and this man is changed. You know, there's loads of pigs around there. It's just not a big no-no for Jewishness where he is. And yet Jesus speaks to this man, and this man is returned to his right mind. Most unlikely person to have taken the seed into himself. And yet he's there and he asks Jesus. And later on, Jesus says, you can't come with me, but you can go and tell your friends and people around that you've been made well by Jesus. And we think about this, which soil is this man taking up? I'd suggest it's a good soil. That seed fell in good soil and this man was changed totally. If we turn the page again, we come across Jairus, a man who was leading a synagogue, like a church in Israel then. And And there's also another woman. Sadly for Jairus, his daughter is really, really unwell. And so he's heard of seed, he's heard of Jesus being able to heal. And even though he's an important man, he's a leader of the synagogue, he comes along and he comes to Jesus, please, Jesus, come and heal my daughter. She's really unwell. And so Jesus heads that way. There's a big crowd following him as well. And so Jesus is going that direction. But there's another lady there, a lady who's been ill for a long, long time. She spent all her money. She hasn't got any more money for doctors. And she's quite an introverted person. She doesn't want to get out in the front and say, hey, Jesus, come and heal me. You know, she's not that type. But she's heard a seed of truth about Jesus. And she just says to herself, you know, I'm not important enough for Jesus. But if I could just reach through the crowd and touch his garment, I'm sure that would do me good. And, you know, she doesn't want to hinder Jesus because he's off to heal a child, you know, and she's well on in years. And so she does that. And she is healed. She's had that seed of truth that she's heard about Jesus. And once more, we see a picture of good soil. That seed fell on good soil and had a really good effect in her life. She was healed and she went on her way rejoicing. But Jesus carries on to Jairus' daughter. And the seed that her father heard and listened to has brought new life to her daughter because Jesus heals her daughter. The leader of the synagogue had to humble himself. He was big in the community, but he had to say, I'm not big enough for this. I have to go and get help. And he got Jesus to help him. And so once more, the man who humbled himself, he had good soil where that seed fell. And he had a harvest of a new life for his daughter. But if we if we go further, because we find that Jesus then goes off to Nazareth. And he gets a different reaction there. The seed bounces off the path because they reject him. They say, oh, we know you. We know your parents. We know your brothers and sisters. We don't want you. And the seed just bounces off. And Jesus is rejected. I spoke about being rejected the last time. Jesus was rejected. But we got one more reading. And that's Josh, please. That's Mark chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. 1 to 12, sorry. 12, 1 to 12.
Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit from the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another one, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him, last of all, saying, they will respect my son. But the tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of Scripture? The stone builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Then the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away.
Thank you, Josh. Okay, so Jesus is telling another parable here, and his listeners are listening. They've taken note, they hear the message, and they understand the message. And then they think, oh, goodness me, it's talking about me here. And so they get angry. They're not going to let this seed go deep into their hearts. They're like the shallow soil. They get it, they know it, they understand it, but they say, no way is this going to go deep into our hearts. And so they see the message and they get angry. They say, I'm not having it. And so we see these effects of Jesus' message on different people. And the question remains, I guess, what sort of soil am I? Am I the footpath? Am I the shallow soil? The crowded out soil, the weeds, the brambles? Or am I going to be the good soil? Am I going to listen to Jesus and hear and take it in and let it do me good and produce fruit for Jesus? I trust that we all can do that. Better whip through our Bible signs, walk through the Bible sand signs once more. And we go, Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables. And next time we're going to do miracles.